Attitudable opens the door to a new world of people transforming lives and the way we do business. Today, we have Dr. Evie Prokopi, who is a neurolinguist and a success coach. She is a multicultural expert, having lived in 6 countries and traveled to 35, worked with people from 58 countries. As a certified work performance assessor and an LP coach. Welcome to our podcast, Evie.
Thank you very much for inviting me to your podcast. It's lovely to talk to you and be with you today.
Thanks to you. Would you like to tell us more about yourself?
Sure. I have about 15 years of experience in project management and talent management. I have worked for a lot of multinational Fortune 100 companies and startups. I was the first and youngest Greek female to ever speak at the Global Project Management Institute Congress. And last summer, I made it to the world's top 100 HR influencers 2020. So I'm trying to promote best practices in human resource management, in talent management, and I like and I enjoy coaching people to achieve their personal and professional goals. And I'm very thrilled because my first book has been published. And as I found out today, it's already best-selling in the new releases rank. I'm very, very happy about it.
Wow, congratulations.
Thank you.
Your book, The Success Playbook, right? That's right. Available in Amazon, and it's very, very insightful and thought-provoking, as we were talking before. And I read in right chapter one that you talk a lot about attitude and how, I will cite just a brief part, that you say that our attitude is what in a way helps us to be what we want to be, right? Kind of. Would you please explain us?
Sure, that's right. Because when we believe we cannot do something because we don't have the right skills, then we instantly become less motivated and we don't pursue our goal. But when we believe we can do something, we feel that we have control over the outcome and we try, we give our best and we succeed. So our attitude is by a large percentage what leads us to success or failure. And as you saw in the book, it's very important to retrain our thinking, our way of thinking and our brains, basically.
Exactly. Sometimes we don't pay attention to that. We think that, of course, all of us have our own attitude towards whatever. But how can we retrain it in order to be the attitude that we need or we want to have? What steps do you suggest?
We can retrain ourselves by either the help of someone, of a professional who knows how to lead us there, or we can try with some self-coaching exercises and some self-coaching tools to increase our self-awareness and realize what stops us. Because most of the time, it's ourselves that stops us from moving ahead. So if we realize what is our internal blockage, then we can work around it. And studies have shown that whenever attributional retraining has been implemented, performance was improved because all the people's thoughts and beliefs were replaced by positive and helpful thoughts, like positive affirmations, for example. It's what actually leads us to success because we realize that we can do something. We increase our faith. We believe in ourselves. And when we believe in ourselves, we can do it.
It's doable, I mean, for all of us, you say.
Mm-hmm. And
sure.
Sorry. So we can start with a positive attitude and a success mindset, and we can be positive in a very simple way every day, as in being kind and smile more and tell someone a nice word and give some a tip or advice if they need some help. simple gestures like these create a very, very positive attitude.
It's from sometimes from the internal to the external, or just the other way. I mean, it has to come from inside ourselves. You mean that change?
Yes, it comes from the inside, because we have to realize that usually our greatest enemy is ourselves. And so I know it sounds so strange, so weird, but it's usually us blocking our efforts. And that's a pity, because as soon as we realize that and we take some steps, we move ahead and we go toward our goals and success.
Exactly. Everybody has to read your book, but just to have like an idea, you begin the first part began with some introductions about the philosophical, let's say, from Socrates and Plato, and how their ideas continue shaping our lives. As you say, like developing the capacity to enjoy with less. We are always like looking for more and more, because I'm not happy, because I need more. Would you please let us know how that study that you made worked out?
I realized that, well, I am from Greece, and I wanted to pay my tribute to ancient Greek philosophy. And I realized, studying ancient Greek philosophy, that there are many views that are aligned with traditional Chinese religion, and they are also aligned to the law of attraction and other cultures and other philosophies. And basically, we spend so much time thinking about the future, thinking about the things that we want, thinking about things that are out of reach. And we rarely take a breath and realize what we already have. And it's very important to do this, because if we really take a break and look around and see what we have, our health, our security of home and belongings, and we can feed ourselves and we can feed the people we love, we have so much. And we don't appreciate it. And imagine that sometimes we don't give the right meaning to trivial things. If we pay attention to trivial things, like a sunset, how many times do we actually enjoy a sunset? Maybe once a year, maybe never. But we don't know how many more sunsets we actually get to experience. And there are so many simple things, so many beautiful things around us. And we just don't realize that. And what is very relevant is the actual survey that is inside the book. And basically, the book is based on my research. And this study, this survey, was done before the coronavirus crisis. And I realized that only 70% of people thought that being healthy is success. And I'm wondering nowadays that every single of us is concerned, has some concerns, is anxious, afraid sometimes about all this crisis. How would these people, how would the rest 30% actually answer? Would they still think that, you know, being healthy is not that a big deal? But really, our health is like the most important thing we can have and cherish and celebrate, because when we're healthy, we can do everything.
We take it for granted.
Exactly.
And without it, we can't do anything. Yeah, so true. Unbelievable. And also that you talk about the law of attraction in your book, and you said that it all began in 1877. Mm-hmm. I couldn't believe it when I was reading it. I mean, so long ago.
Yes, it was introduced by Elena Blavatsky, and she was a Russian occultist. She used the actual term, the law of attraction, and she believed that we can actually change reality and our thoughts. And we can define everything just by using our thoughts and mind. And it's amazing because many people have seemed to make it. When we think, when we change our way of thinking, when we retrain our brains, when we adopt a positive attitude, we actually become more successful.
Yes.
And we know that our thoughts make us what we are. And with hard work and positive thinking, we can actually achieve our goals, provided that our goals are realistic. It's another important aspect.
You are right. Sometimes we are too ambitious or too difficult a goal to achieve.
Yes. And that's why our goals need to be always specific and realistic and achievable, because maybe someone will come up with a goal like, I would like to grow wings. That's not a realistic goal, so you have to be realistic. However, most things that usually people want are realistic and are achievable. And the thing is that we need to keep believing in ourselves, to keep the faith. And even if we fail, we need to just get up and try again and try until we succeed. And the only failure is when we give up on trying. So it's very important to keep trying.
Yeah, exactly. We get this courage and we say, well, that's it. I couldn't make it. And sometimes that's the end. I mean, you forgot. I say, well, okay, I don't want it, or I don't want it anymore because you weren't able to achieve it. So true. And as you also mentioned, the Lao Tzu phrase, watch your thoughts because they become your words.
Mm-hmm.
Really got my attention, that one. Your thoughts become your words.
And this was said, as you said, by Lao Tzu, like so many years ago. Mm-hmm. And what I find fascinating in this is that there is a biologist, Dr. Bruce Lipton. He's a very well-known biologist, and he said, as a scientist now, not as a philosopher, but as a scientist, which has even more weight, he said that our fate depends on the pictures we set our mind to. And he says that the pictures we hold in our mind are translated by our brain into chemistry that complements these pictures, which this chemistry is then put in our blood and our body. And our body responds to these pictures in our mind. So he says that our cells are either in a growth mode or in a protection mode. They cannot be at both modes at the same time. And if we have an image of fear in our mind, then our cells go in a protection mode. And this also increases our cortisol levels. So we need to fill our minds with positive images, with nice feelings. And as a matter of fact, many studies have shown that when we think of nice things, when we think about our plans, our dreams, our goals, and when we talk about them, we instantly become more happy because we release our hormones that are responsible for our happiness feelings. So it's also biology. It's not just philosophy anymore. It's not just religion or something like that. It's actual science.
Wow.
And it's fascinating.
Yes, like when you were talking, I also remember sometimes when you go on a very beautiful trip and then you remember, do you remember that year that we were, I don't know, in that beach and you like begin experiencing again all the feelings that you had at that time, that you were laughing with a group of friends, with your family, and you are, of course, in the present, but in a way, your mind transports you to that happy moment.
Mm-hmm. And you feel happy again. That's right.
So true. And I also love, that's why I think that you put the playbook in the name. It's the playbook, success playbook because it's like interactive, as you said. You give ideas, like after a chapter, for example, you have to write a journal or write what you have in mind.
Mm-hmm.
What was your purpose on doing that?
Well, I wrote this book because I want to help people, and I put my soul in this book. So I thought that the best way to help someone is to give them something interactive. So at the end of each chapter, there is an exercise that they can actually do, because if they actually work on the exercise, it means that they have read the chapter and they have understood and assimilated the chapter. So then they can work in the exercise that will help them move closer to their goal and success and happiness. And that was the reason I wanted to make it very interactive.
Yes, and I found it fascinating because when I was like rereading some parts for our interview and looking at my notes, the ones that you ask the reader to write, I mean, it sticks even more in my mind as what are my steps and what do I have to do in order to achieve the goal or the thing that we want to.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I think it's like a guide that will help people clarify things in their mind so they can move toward their goal very determined and with high confidence.
Yes, and being written by a neurolinguist as you are, it's even more powerful because you know how our mind works.
Or I'm still trying to figure it out as everyone else.
Well, but you have more idea. You've been doing a lot of research and all that, and it shows. Very fascinating.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Evie, for the book. I will write all on the show notes, all the ways that people can find it, and also your ways of connecting with you, which is the best way to reach you.
Either through my websites or through LinkedIn. Actually, LinkedIn is the only social media I use, so people can reach me there.
Professional one. Yes. Great. Well, thanks a lot for your time. Thanks
Thank
a lot
you
for the book, for your contribution, and we'll keep you posted.
Thank you very much for having me here. It was a lovely conversation, and I'm really glad that you like the book.
Yes, thanks to you, Evie.
Thank you.
And Evie, just to the name for the name of the podcast, are you attitudable?
I'm positive attitudable.
I know. Thanks a lot, Evie.
Thank you.
If you enjoyed this conversation, please rate and share a review. Remember to subscribe and share with your friends. Thanks for listening. Communicate and be attitudable.